Thank you, you two. That was beautiful harmony. That was wonderful. Thank you, thank you. First thing I want to do here is our memory verse for the month. And then, if you have your Bibles, you're going to want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. So let's take just a few seconds to get there. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll say our verse. And then we'll read from Philippians. So here we go. If you've never been with us, most of you have been, but maybe some of you haven't. We say the scripture reference, the verse, the reference to follow. So here we go. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. All right. So we're going to go to, we're going to go to the book of Philippians. And I'm going to read you some scripture. You all know this, or many of you know this scripture. It's probably one of the more famous ones in the Bible. And it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's how it reads. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. I love that, especially when we're all getting on board the bus together, working in unity. You may want to completely finish that chapter because it really goes into how we are to be like Christ and be humble and have humility as we go forward. So everyone by now, and I know we don't have everyone with us this morning, but everyone by now has been invited onto the energy bus, and you see the buses here and stuff, and you can look on the board. I put a couple more things up, not the board, but the wall, put a couple more things up. Still looking for more people to put their one word on there. I went over there to look at those words and pray for those folks this morning early when I got here, and there's some exciting words, and I hope people are living out those words. And if you are, I want to start hearing some testimony from some of you folks. I've already talked to a couple of folks who have written some things down and asked them how it related to their lives. And hopefully as we go along, you'll be able to share some of those things with the congregation as we get going. So we're on the energy bus where our destination is going to take place. And people have dreamed about this for well over 20 years, right? Maybe 24 years. I don't even know the count. But part of it is the property where the Cedars is located up the road, right? Just a mile up the road. That's part of our destination. We discovered two weeks ago now, rule number one, you are the driver of the bus. Remember that? And in certain areas of your life, you are the driver of the bus. And in case of the local church, you or everyone has called a minister to drive and to lead. And of course, I was the minister that you called, whether you like it or not. But I mean, I'm here. And in fact, somebody told me this morning, I think, is it this Sunday? Was the 10-year?
January 23rd.
January 23rd was the first Sunday, I believe I was here 10 years ago. I cannot believe it. Don't give me an applause. Give you an applause for keeping me here. So, yes. 23rd. Oh, was I up here for that, though? Okay. Yeah, the newspaper said January 23rd. Well, see, they got it wrong. I was reading a little bit of the article. They got a couple other things wrong, too, but that's okay. So, anyways, yeah, 10 years, and you have called me to, kind of be the bus driver, and I thank you for that. Now, in order to drive, right, I have to consult with paid staff and consult with the deacons and executive council and first and foremost. And, of course, all of us, we need to pray over what we are doing and, of course, seek God's kingdom first. That is just so important. Now, I'm the one who's responsible for the passengers. For all of you that are on the bus, I'm basically responsible for you and steering us in the right direction, making sure that we get to our destination safely. Now, there's several destinations, right? One is to know God and make him known. So we want to know God and get closer to God, but then we're going to move out here. Ron and I had the opportunity yesterday to be bus drivers for the youth. And so I drove the bigger bus, he drove the van, but in essence, he was the bus driver, right? And so we have to focus on getting our people to the slopes there safely and then bringing them back home. And what happened last night on our way home, it's like I stopped for gas and a blizzard hits. It was only 2 inches of snow, but it was coming down real fast. Those 2 inches came down real fast. So I'm on the freeway. It's dangerous. And I have to concentrate. I have to focus because as the bus driver, my responsibility is to get those kids and adults who are on our bus home safely. We're on the same thing. Fortunately, we arrived safely. So I don't take the call lightly. But those in other leadership positions and all passengers, everyone who jumps on the bus, have some responsibilities as well. And so today we're going to go over rule number 2 of being on the bus, and then we'll talk about some passenger responsibilities, if we get to that today. I doubt that. But I want you to, before we get started, join me in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here. I just pray a special blessing upon them, all of us, Lord Jesus, as we open our hearts and our minds to you and your spirit this morning. Would you just hit us all at one time and challenge us to have our minds renewed and give us strength for the road ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you look at your bulletin, again, our first rule was that you are the bus driver. And you are, remember, somewhere, some at work and home and school, wherever it may be, an organization. But this church, Lebanon First Baptist Church, has called me to be the lead bus driver as we move along, to preach, teach, train, and equip, to help guide and give some direction. And so that brings us to rule number 2. And it is up on, I posted it up there this morning, so if you want to take a look at it later on. Rule number 2 states that desire, vision, and focus moves the bus in the right direction. And so I wanted to figure out, how do I put that in simple terms? And I'm going to talk a little bit about tennis, which is the sport I know the best. So I am most familiar with this, and the team's vision, our picture, kind of for the future, is to win conference, sectionals, regionals, and move on to state. That's kind of your long-term vision to kind of get to that destination, the final destination. Our desire to make that happen is strong, and so because our desire is strong, our desire is to work hard, really hard, have a strong work ethic to make the destination, to get there. So in order to get it all done, we have to have laser-like focus, right? On technique, on footwork, on racket speed. I had no clue what racket speed was and how you generate it until I got involved with tennis. And while on the bus, I mean the physical bus, and we're going together as a team, we need to focus in on the opponent that we have to play that day, keeping our eyes constantly focused on that yellow ball. Now, those of you that are golfers, what happens when you take your eye off the ball? Whoosh, whoosh, right? It's the exact same for tennis. If you take your eye off the ball, you're going to shank it one way or another. You always have to look at the ball and stay focused. We also need to have an abundance of energy. I looked that word up. That's a fun word. Drive, zeal, mojo, spirit, life, stamina, passion. That's just to name a few that kind of helps us sum up what energy is. And we're on the energy bus. We want all of that as we're moving forward. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians It's a little bit before Philippians there, 1 Corinthians. Another familiar passage from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And I want you to think of this in terms of the Apostle Paul being on the bus, that is, being in the church or part of the church. He says this, do you, and he's talking about the need for self-discipline really here. So he's saying, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, make it the slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the race. Great words. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes work. It takes energy to get to your final destination. So many times we lose not because the talent is not there, but because we lose focus. We lose desire to finish the race. And then sometimes we forget about our vision, or we get sidetracked with so many other things. That's why my word is uncluttered for this year. It keeps us from reaching our destination. And it's the same with the church. It really is. And you know, we have the talent here. This service, second service. We have the talent here to move out to the Cedars, to lead people to Jesus out there, to lead people to Jesus out in our community, to feed the community in new and exciting ways. We really have the talent here. But the question as you jump on the energy bus is, do we have the desire? Is that what you really want to do? That takes you to the bottom one, or maybe the bottom one is somewhere in there. Are you on the right bus? Do you have the desire to do those things? Or are you on the bus to Chicago or somewhere else, right? So, I think as a whole, we have the desire. And I think we do have the focus. We may need to work on and tinker with some things, but we have the focus. And certainly, I think we do now have the vision. Your executive council has actually spent a couple of years on this, going over this stuff. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work. And before I share some of that vision with you and desire, let me share with you what they came up with. You want to look at the back of your bulletin. We're going to be reading that in just a minute, what they came up with for a brief statement about who we are. And there you can look there, the church statement. I'm going to read that one for you, and then we're going to read in unison the next couple, so hang in there. This is the first one. Just follow along, back of your bulletin. It says this, we are a word-driven church, a people who know God and are making him known. Lebanon First Baptist Church is driven by the Word of God to believe Christ is Lord and Savior, to become God's people, to belong to a faith community, and to serve beyond our walls. So let's read a little bit on our vision, our desire, and focus. Now remember this, our vision and our desire and our focus, those things get added to as Christ moves within the church, and some things get changed around a little bit. But basically, this will sum up our vision, our desire, and then our focus. Here we go. Our vision is to lead, well, you're going to read with me, is to lead people to Jesus, relocate, and function fully for the gospel of Jesus on one campus and then throughout the community and the world. Our desire is to get the job done while at the same time continuing ministry that works, fully integrating the Cedars into that ministry, creating a new kind of mission center that is community-oriented. Now, don't worry about reading our focus. I'll read that one for you. Our focus is on Christ, His kingdom, and early on, simplifying. Simplify means we keep what is working and we get rid of what is not. And I'll get into that in just a minute. And then I'll finish off that outline for you there. So at some point, we'll even unpack some of that a little bit further for you. But suffice it to say, as we live that description out, some of those descriptions out, we feel led to finish the vision that was started some 20 years ago, relocating, of course, and functioning fully for the gospel of Jesus on one campus. And like we just read, our desire is to get that done. And my desire, this might be a little personal, but boy, I'd like to get it done ASAP. I mean, we can't just walk out there tomorrow. I mean, we could, but we'd have a problem, right, with this facility. So, but we really want to work on that. And so, to that end, we have to really focus on getting there while at the same time continuing good, solid, functioning ministry. And we need to do that throughout the community and the world. And we need to start in Jerusalem, which is right here in Lebanon. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, Luke is the one who wrote Acts, and it was talking about you start at home. Basically, you start in Jerusalem, and then you work your way out. That's what we want to do. We want to build this big, rooted tree, the trunk that grows big and all that, and from there you start branching out. The branches don't necessarily, right? So that's where we want to go. We want to get to the root, get our roots deep in the Word of God, know God, and then from there, from our property out there, then just start branching off as we can and then as God leads. Fully integrating, of course, again, the Cedars in that ministry, creating that new kind of what we call the mission center, which draws people in. I mean, 160 people the other night, Tim was talking about. Wow, what a witness. It's not like we're sitting there, standing there, preaching the Word of God to them, but they know it's a church. There's information there. There's books that they can take, and Tim talks to people about Jesus all the time. It's a mission center. Do you see people pouring in the church? No. Do you see people pouring into the mission center? Yeah. What an opportunity, folks. So we need to focus on Christ. We need to focus on His kingdom. And then simplifying what we do here. Simplifying what we do here. And here is where we really need unity. And that is to simplify. We keep what's working and we get rid of what's not. Keep what's working and get rid of what is not. Now, Pastor Tim and I have talked about this for several years. How do we simplify down to like five ministries, five good, valid ministries, instead of being scattered all over the map? It's hard to do because everyone, now remember, we're going to be honest with each other, everyone has a pet project they want to do, don't they? And they want to invite the whole church to do it with them. Now, they're good projects. They're great things. They're wonderful things. But we all go in different directions when that happens. And we all vie for the same people as volunteers to help. I know you're working at the Cedars, you know, next couple of days. But we've got this project over here. Can you help over here on Tuesday and Wednesday? And then Sunday morning, can you do this over here? And then, by the way, we've got this ministry downtown. Can you help out with that? You see, we vie for everybody's volunteerism. And what happens is none of us are on the same bus. Psalm 133, turn there. This is a great psalm. Somebody was talking about singing this morning. And David, this guy knows how to sing. He knows how to write some. Well, I don't know if he knows how to sing. He might be tone deaf for all we know. But if he's singing to God, it's beautiful stuff, right? So this is a song of David, and it's Psalm 133. Listen to what he says. And as we read this, think about yourself on the bus. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. That's pretty powerful stuff. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for God's people to dwell together in unity. And here is what the church can be like when we're all on board on the same bus. God has never called the church to be fragmented, arguing and stuff with each other. While we love Jesus together, it many times feels like we are fighting at the same time, not having these arguments over doctrine and stuff, but we're fighting for other people's time to get everything done. And again, those are all good things. Unity in Jesus, but not unity in direction. We'll all say, oh, we believe in Jesus, we love Jesus, but our directions are going all over the place. Again, what we do is good, but if we simplify, that would put us maybe in the very good or excellent range for ministry and mission. So, okay, Pastor Dave, what do we need to get rid of and who might we make mad? That's the question, right? Well, I don't know quite yet. I'll let the executive council make some of those decisions so they can take the blame. I'm just kidding. But I really don't know yet. But what the executive council and paid staff and I have been talking about first and first is what we should keep. What are the things we should keep? What are the things that are working well? And I sat down and wrote out a strategy, which I shared with the trustees and paid staff, executive councils, and the deacons. And it was written in 2018, and it takes us through 2021. And Pastor Tim and I looked over this, and while not perfect, it gets us started. And in fact, as I was reading through it, much of it has already been implemented. And I was really happy to see that as I looked down the list. It's a list of about 15 things or so, starting with, remember we had the End in the Black campaign to do the energy bus. And then it goes to the jail ministry and to Financial Peace University, and then working on phase two of the building project. Sunday school, youth program, opening up the Cedars 7 days a week, which, by the way, is functioning really, really well. And then our Bible studies and worship. Those are all things that we kind of need to keep going. And we're currently working on a revival with a special guest speaker to be held over at the Cedars, and then bringing to the community a program called Thrive, which concentrates on helping boys, especially young boys, thrive through school. You read the statistics, and it's terrible where boys have gone in this country as far as education. We're on the bottom of the totem pole. So we're having somebody come in that would teach teachers and parents, everybody that would want to be part of that, and they get credit. They're continuing ed credit and stuff like that. I've already talked to the principal about it and then talking to some other folks. And, we're working on getting that thing fully funded. So here is what I would like to suggest for us. As somebody who is driving the bus, let's not add, as we do this, any more programs to the church or add another ministry to the church until we reach our destination. So this doesn't mean you can't do one-time events like a revival or have a tent meeting and those kinds of things, but we need to stop competing for each other's time and each other's ministries. We all need to share in the same ministry on the bus together. Start to concentrate on what this church does really well. And so we need to start and continue pouring our attention into things, of course, like the Cedars, and thank you to the volunteers and everybody that comes out for that, which is that virtual mission center. But we've got, again, the worship, the Bible studies, our youth, our seniors. We've got other programs in Sunday school and Financial Peace University. All of them work really well. And thank you to Ron, Nikki, and Beth for working with our youth and all of that. We've got marriages and visitation and discipleship, all those wonderful things that we can do here while we get set to move. And I can't tell you how many times someone calls us on the phone wanting us to be part of this or that. I'm sure Tim gets those calls too. All good, all great, all worthy causes, but the fact is, we're full up. We're full up. So folks, there is a word we all have to learn to say politely. Even instead of coming to the pastor and saying, how about we start this new ministry, somebody suggested. Even before it gets to me, no. That's a word we need to learn to say is no. We've got too much stuff going on. We're focused. We're making a move. And once we get that done, who knows where God will lead. It's going to lead to great and better things even, I think. Once we reach our destination, then maybe God would lead us to that more, to branch out more. But remember, we must seek God's kingdom first. That's just so important. And along the way on the energy bus, we'll become stronger in God's word. I really think so. Strengthening our faith, serving our community, serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and making him known. And here's what's funny when I think about it. Sit down and pray about it. I truly believe if this is done right, once we get going, we won't be asking people to give up more time necessarily. If we're efficient, we'll eventually be asking you to spend more time with your family and friends, and you'll be discipled enough for when you meet people, you'll just be talking about your church and God and your love of faith and leading people to Jesus. I had the opportunity at the Y to meet a lady. She was an older lady. We were talking. She's just delightful. I said, are you a church girl? I probably should have said lady or woman, but I just said, are you a church girl? And she goes, I used to be. I go, oh. And I said, well, what happened? She said, well, she used to be until her granddaughter died. Mm. But what that tells me is this. We're not taking people deep enough into their faith to where faith should have been able to not make her the happiest person in the world, but to say, man, I know God's alive. She now has a wonderful, same mom, she now has a wonderful grandchild that she just loves. But what an opportunity, what a door that's open to minister to a person like that. We need those kinds of conversations in this community with others. By the way, suggestions for streamlining are always welcome. And what do you feel we don't need is really welcome. So we have desire, focus, vision. We can do this. I believe we can really do this. We can get there. I want to defy the odds. I really do want to defy the odds and do what we're doing by being in unity. You know, so many churches go through this kind of transition and there's nothing but fighting, arguing, and all that sort of stuff. The reason is because people are not on the same bus together. And we need everybody. I'm not talking yes people. I'm talking people that are on the bus together with that same vision of moving out and then trusting in our Lord. So we can defy those odds. So let's look to Jesus. Let's work together. Let's have fun together doing it on this energy bus and focus more than ever on the Savior whom we serve and who has called us to lead others to him. Because that's what we're all about. Now, I know I was, you know, we had talked about maybe getting into passenger responsibilities. I want you all to be here next week because it's going to be a rough ride next week. And you all need to hear some things. I need to hear them too. But think about on your own now, if you're on this bus riding with us to a destination that God has called us to, think about what your responsibilities are as passengers. Because while I'm in charge of getting you safely, passengers also have some responsibility. And some of them are very tough. This could determine whether you want to be on the bus, or you're on the wrong bus, or you need to get on another bus that's more to your liking. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for your scripture in Colossians that tells us to put on the clothing of kindness and gentleness and all those wonderful things as we work together, as we ride together as your people. Would you help us to do that and then to treat each other in that way as we move? We know things might get a little bit tense as we go forward, but Lord Jesus, give us that spirit of joy that only you can provide. And whatever we do, Lord, in word or deed, riding on this bus together, help us to do everything in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we may give thanks to you, that we may give thanks to your heavenly Father. Would you fill this group now with your Holy Spirit as they leave here today, as they love on you and as they love on others? We thank you for the invitation to just go along with you as you walk alongside us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, the invitation from you to open our door is always there. And we thank you that you stand there and you knock. I pray for those that will open that door and finally let you in and say, yes, Lord, come in. Would you make that happen today? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen.